Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for coming to worship with us this morning. We are glad to have you here. It's been a nice weekend. I hope everybody's enjoyed the weather God's give us. As we get started today, just a few announcements. So don't forget about our Wednesday night services. Our adult services are up here. Our youth and children's services are down in the building, 6:30 on Wednesday night. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., if anybody can help, whoever can help move things, we are going to be moving things out of the fellowship hall and so we can get the floors waxed. So the plan is we're going to get all that moved out. We're going to be able to move it back, and so Wednesday night, anybody who can help Wednesday night, I'm going to put the boys with the big muscles to work, and we're going to move everything back in there Wednesday evening. So keep those things in mind. The deacons, it says in here that our deacons meeting and our business meeting will be on the 23rd. That is, we are going to actually have that, going ahead and have that on the third Sunday on the 16th, which you'll find out more about that later. Have some things we have to take care of. I don't think there are any more announcements. Things to think about for prayer in 1 week from tomorrow. Me and Miss Gwen are going to be taking two young ladies to camp for a week. So keep them in your prayers that God works through them and speaks to their heart and works on me and Gwen that week too, and you know, gets us where we need to be. If you're interested in helping in Bible school this week is, the dates haven't made it in there yet, but Bible school is going to start on July the 28th. So that is the last Sunday in July. So if you're interested in helping in any way, let me know. Come talk to me, give me a call, shoot me a text. Last day of school was Thursday. I'm fixing to jump head first into summer, and got a lot going on. I look forward to it. I don't think there are any more announcements at this time. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Artie, and he's going to open us up in prayer. I just invite you to calm your hearts, calm your minds, and let's worship together this morning.
Good morning. I hope everyone's doing well as we watch Chad. It is good to see everybody here this morning. I am glad you're here. Thank you for coming. And as we begin our time of worship together, please join me in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you've done. Dear Lord, you have blessed us so much, and we are so undeserving. But dear Lord, we're so thankful that you do not give us what we do deserve, but you give us what you want us to have. Dear Lord, as we begin our time of worship together, will you fill this place with your presence? May your Holy Spirit move among your people, that you open our hearts and our ears, that we may worship you and only you this morning. Dear Lord, bless this time that we have together. Change us. And we give you all the honor and praise for everything, because you alone are worthy. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Sandra's away this week. I guess you see that. I'm not Sandra. But she's asked me to lead us in prayer, lead us in our call to worship this morning, hymn number 379 in our hymnal. If you'd like to follow along with it, that'll be fine too. But if you would stand, please.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around.
Thank you.
Bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the many, many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we give back to you just a little bit of all those wonderful things, I pray that you bless the giver, bless the gift, and I pray that it is used to the growing of your kingdom. All this I ask in your name, Lord. Amen. All right, guys, how is everybody? Is everybody glad school's out? Is everybody ready to go back to school? You are ready to go back to school? All right, we can arrange that, Sadie. We can send you to summer school. I am not going to summer school, so I will be glad to go back when it gets here, but I'm ready for a break. But guys, I want to talk to you about something this morning. All right. Who likes to be first? Anybody here like to be first? First in line, first doing something. Do you like to be first? What do you like to be first doing? Being in line. I'm telling you what, being at the elementary school, the line leader is a very coveted job. I don't understand it. I don't know why in the world kids want to be in the front of the line, but they will fight. You guys will fight over who's at the front of the line. And so will teenagers. And I don't understand it. But what were you going to say? Huh? First do what? First in line too? All right. Who wants to be the greatest? Does anybody in here want to be the greatest? I meant to bring a trophy. I got a trophy a couple weeks ago. I don't like to get up here and gloat and talk about myself, but I got a trophy that said I was the world's greatest ring announcer. I mean, I'm sure somebody made that trophy, and I'm sure one person decided to give me that trophy. So it's not true, but in my mind, I'm going to pretend like it's true for this very moment. But we're going to talk about being the greatest today and what that means, because we all want to be first and we all want to be the greatest, but Jesus tells us that we got to be last. Did you know that? I'm going to share a Bible verse with you. It says, this is from the NIV version. So it says, this is Mark chapter 9, verses 35 through 37. It says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. And who sent Jesus? God, that's right. And so what he's talking about is it's okay. First in line is not a bad thing. And being good at your sport is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. He's talking about in life, it's very, very important to put other people's needs first. That's a really hard thing to do. I can't even imagine how hard it is to do for a kid. I know it's really hard for an adult, because sometimes as an adult, you want to say, I want to just think about me for a minute. But God tells us it's very important to put others first. And we're going to learn more about that as we go out. And we're also going to do something special. So after this next song, we are going to go that way. So if you guys want to sit right here, and we'll head out, and we're going to do something special. So let's bow our heads real quick, though. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all you do for us. Lord, give us the strength. Give us the courage to put others first and to just serve them and love others and care about others in our daily lives. All this I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, guys, let's sit right there.
Thank you, Chad. We appreciate it. If you would stand and join us in singing hymn on page 243, an old favorite song, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, you're right here with us, filling us with your love.
And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we know that we will then revive when we shall leave this place. There are blessings you cannot receive till you know Him in His fullness and believe. You're the one to all the way. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, you're right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Okay, it's doing it again. Well, today I'm going to be bringing you this sermon, and it looks like I'm going to have to turn off again. Okay. Trey, did we get it set up online? Okay. We've been having some technical difficulties with our streaming, so We thought we had it taken care of, but apparently this morning it decided not to work. So we're having to go back to some different things. But I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to look at one verse there. And then I'm going to explain some things. But if you would stand as I read this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what we see Paul writing to the church in Corinth. Help us to understand that it's not only pertinent to them then, but it's also very pertinent to us today. Speak to us this morning, and it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we pray. Amen. Well, the first thing that I want us to look at this morning is Paul's beginning commitment to the church in Corinth. You see, back in June 2017, when I was instilled as the interim pastor, I preached a sermon on being resolved. My very first sermon, and I used the commitment that Paul made to the Corinthian church as my commitment to you at Crestview Baptist Church. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and this is what Paul writes and commits and resolves to do for the church in Corinth. This is his opening commitment, his beginning commitment. And it says in verses 1 through 5, it says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." You see, Paul did not come like we see a lot of preachers on TV today, where they're talking this big flowery language with big words. He did not come telling them that if they did this, that they would get this, that they would be rich and God would bless them with monetary things if they did these certain things. He came with one message: Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And He committed to this Corinthian church at the very beginning to do only that. So as my opening sermon looked at Paul and his commitment to the Corinthian church, I thought it was fitting that my final sermon as pastor would also look at Paul. And our main scripture of 2 Corinthians 13:11 is Paul's final exhortations to the church that he had been ministering to. So Paul's final exhortations to the church of Corinth. Look again at verse 11, and we're going to break this verse down a little bit. "Finally, brethren, rejoice." Now, it's very interesting that the King James Version uses a different word. But in the Greek language, it's the same word. And in fact, commentaries say that the King James Version, it is, while it's correct, the better translation of that particular word is to rejoice. So rejoice, be made complete. King James Version says perfect. Be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. This is another condition statement. We've talked about those before, that if you do these things, then this will happen. This is another one of those statements, but we're going to look at all this. First thing he says is to rejoice. Rejoice. Philippians 4:4, Paul writes to another church, and the church in Philippi, and he tells them, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. You guys realize that this is not optional for us as Christians. Rejoicing is not something that we can do or not do. It is something that we are commanded to do in Scripture. As Christians, we are to rejoice. You see, everything Paul taught them was so that they would enjoy the joy of walking in the right relationship with God. Now, here's the question I have for you. Why would Christians have a reason not to rejoice or not have a reason to be joyful? I can tell you one reason is because we lose sight of what God has done in our lives or done for us. And it's easy to lose sight. We start looking at our circumstances. We start looking at the pain that we experience as human beings. We start looking at the struggles. But you have to understand something. Jesus Christ, the mighty, only begotten Son of God, left his throne at the right hand of the Father. Came to earth so that he could experience that same struggle, that same pain as the creation. The Creator made himself his creation to experience life as his creation. He felt the pain of having a loved one die. And we know how he reacted to that. How did Jesus react to Lazarus' death? He wept. But then what did he do? He raised him from the dead. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And John 3:16 tells us why. For God so loved the world that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That doesn't mean that we're not going to die physically. The moment we are born, my little granddaughter down here, the moment she was born, she started to the process of dying. And that's hard for us to grasp, but it's the truth. We are all going to die. It is literally, you know, they used to say that there's only two things that a person has to do, and that's pay taxes and die. No, that's not true. The only thing a person has to do is die. You can get out of paying taxes. But you still don't have to pay them. But there is no way you're going to get through life unless God comes back and takes us. You're going to die. Every single one of us. We are finite beings, which means that we have a beginning and we have an end. We do have an expiration date. And it's not all the same. But Jesus tells us that if you believe in him, you accept what he has done for you, that you will be raised again. We finished Daniel this past Wednesday night. The last words to Daniel was, go your way, be at peace, rest, and you will be raised again to receive your reward. That's the last words the angel spoke to Daniel. The last words Daniel wrote, that he would be raised again. He would raise again. And that is a promise that we have from Jesus Christ. So what reason do we have as Christians not to rejoice? Everything that Paul taught was to get us to understand that there is joy found in Jesus Christ and walking in a right relationship with God. Now, guys, you know what I'm talking about. You ever been to a church you walk in and it feels like an icebox? Not because the air is cold, just because the people are cold. And they walk around like sourpusses. They're just mean mugging everybody. What in the world would want to make anybody be like that? That is not attractive. But you walk around with a smile on your face and a joy coming out of every pore. And those are people you want to walk around. I pulled up to the drive-thru at Taco Bell there beside Sonic and Wendy's. And you could tell. The lady comes over the intercom to take my order, and you could just, it just oozed out of her voice that she was happy. I pulled up to the window. She's taking my order, and you see it all over her face. And I looked at her. I said, you know Jesus Christ, don't you? She goes, oh, yes, I do. You could see it all over her. That's the joy. That's what Paul is saying. Rejoice. Be happy. Jesus died for you, and he wins. And guess what? If he wins, you know what that means for us? We win. Get happy and show it. The little song the kids, if you're happy and you know it, shake, clap your hands. Guys, we need to be happy because Jesus Christ saved you. And we need to tell our faces that we need to be happy because Jesus Christ saved us. That's what Paul is saying. Then he tells them, be made complete. King James Version says, be made perfect. Look at Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's telling us to pursue spiritual growth and maturity, which is in the fullness of Christ. That's literally what he's telling us. That's the theology behind this verse and about being made complete or be perfect. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to explain it to you what it means. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit began to work in you. He began to transform you, change you from the inside out. You know what that means? Church, I want you to pay attention to what I say right here. It is not our job to make anybody change anything. Let me say that again. It is not our job to make anybody change anything. If somebody's not walking the way you want them to walk, guess what? It's not our job to change them. Somebody does something that you don't agree with, it's not our job to change them. Our job is to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in them that He is doing in us. There is none of us that are complete or perfect right now. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's not done in us yet. He's not done in me. He's not done in you. He's not done in any of us. There are a few of our members that finally have been made complete and have been made perfect. How do I know that? Because they're no longer here. They are face to face with Jesus Christ, and their salvation has been made complete. That's Scripture. But their entire lives, the Holy Spirit never stopped working on them. Our entire lives, the Holy Spirit never stopped working on us. But instead of going backwards and becoming an infant spiritually, or throwing 13-year-old fits because you don't get what you want, we should be progressing. The Holy Spirit continuing to work and continuing to mature us spiritually until we experience the fullness of Christ in everything that we do. That's what Paul is telling them. Be made complete. The last two Sundays, I preached out of Proverbs about trusting the Lord with all your heart, leaning not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That is being made complete. That is being made perfect. Because we're not trusting ourselves. We're not trusting in our own abilities. We are trusting fully in Him. The third thing that Paul tells the church in Corinth in this final exhortation is to be comforted. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort in abundance through Christ. See, we are to find our strength, encouragement, and solace in our faith in Jesus Christ. What can we do to fix things? In our own power, what can we do to fix things? Pray. But that's taking it to God, isn't it? So what can we do? Not a thing. The only thing that we can do is give it to God. Jesus, by His very nature, is the one that fixes broken lives. By His very nature, He is the one that fills emptiness. I have not experienced the loss of a child or a loss of a spouse. I don't know that emptiness. I have experienced the loss of a parent. And I know a day does not go by that I want to pick up the phone and call my dad, but I can't. Jesus is the one that fills that emptiness. He fills it with the hope and the securance, or security, can't even get the words out, security, and the assurance that He will be there. The hope that I have is that I will see my dad again. The hope that many of you have is that you will see your spouse again. That you will see your parents, that you will see your children. Because Jesus says so. As a Christian, someone that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what happens when we die? What does Scripture say? Where will we go? Where? To be with the Lord. Does it matter when we get saved? When we accept the free gift of salvation? Does it matter if we're on our deathbed and do it? Or does it matter when that we're 8 years old when we do it? No. Well, wait a second, Artie. How do you know there's deathbed conversion? Because Jesus did it on the cross. The thief standing hanging on the cross next to him, dying just like he was. What does he tell him? Today, you will be with me in paradise. He doesn't say, oh, no, you missed it. You should have done it when you were 8 years old, not been a thief. He doesn't tell him that. He says, today. And all the thief did was say, remember me, Master. Remember me when you enter your kingdom. Remember me. You guys know in Daniel chapter 12, we talked about this past Wednesday night too, that the angel tells Daniel that the tribulation that will face his people, the Jews, will only last for a short time. But his people that follow God, and there's an and, everyone whose names are written down in the book shall be rescued. This is in the Old Testament, Daniel. And then John writes in Revelation that he opens the book and reads the Lamb's Book of Life, and everyone names that are written down in that book have what? Oh, eternal life. Those whose names are not written, and it says this in Daniel too, have eternal torment and damnation. Everybody's going to have eternal life. Some are going to have eternal life with Jesus. Some are going to have eternal life. So the words of comfort are not comfort for everybody, but the words of comfort and being comforted are for those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is not a damnation for us. Death is not the end for us. There is a hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ, and that's where our comfort is. Then he says to them, he says, be like-minded. Philippians 2:2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. What does he mean by this? It's very easy. We are one body, one mind, one calling, and one Savior. You guys realize that the church doesn't have different missions or different callings. We have one mission, and that is to fulfill the mission of God. And He gives us that mission when He get when Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that I have told you or commanded you. That is the mission of the church. Every church. Our missions are not different. We all have the same mission. The mission of Crestview Baptist Church is to do exactly what God told them to do. And we are to do that in being like-minded, being one mission. We are one body. We have one calling, and we are saved by one Savior. It doesn't matter if it's Calvary Baptist Church, Poplar Springs Baptist Church. It doesn't matter if it's Sharon United Methodist Church. It doesn't matter if it's Lafayette Church, Bowling Springs Church. It does not matter. If you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a member of the church. And that church has one mission. And that is to build the kingdom of God by sharing the word of God, by evangelizing with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then discipling by teaching them how to live a life of being as a Christian. Does that mean that we're always going to get along? No. But that means that we all have the same mind and we're all wanting the same thing. And that is to follow the will of God and fulfilling the mission of the church. One body. Listen. My body's falling apart. Little by little. And if I keep going, there's going to be less of me because they're going to cut stuff out. And they're going to put metal back in, and I'm going to look like the $6 million man if I keep going. I've got bionic ears, bionic eyes, and a metal knee. And I've even got a couple of loose screws that are just floating around in my leg. But the thing is, when one part of my body hurts, guess what? The whole body hurts. When my hip is hurting, standing up, walking, everything else, I feel it all over. Church, that's the way we are supposed to be. When one part of our body hurts, we should all hurt with them. And when one part of the body rejoices, we are to rejoice with them. We are to be like-minded, not worried about getting our way, but coming together to seek God's will and God's direction, and not being too stinking proud to admit it. When I was hired as youth pastor, I said this. I stood right down here in front of the church, and I said, I am not proud enough to admit that I will not make somebody mad. I will make somebody mad. I will do something they don't like. I'd been here for 2 weeks and Stan called me in his office and he said, they're upset about such and such. I said, I told you I'd make somebody mad. He said, but I expected you to take a little bit longer to do it. Listen, you ask my family. I'm good at making people mad. I can make them mad. All I have to do is look at Ginger the wrong way, and she's... Yeah. But you cannot be too proud to say you're sorry that you made a mistake. In church, admit that you were wrong and then let God work Sometimes that's all that stands between God doing something great and God not moving at all is because we're too proud to admit that we need him to do something. But be like-minded. Then he says, live in peace. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you. Again, look at that. What does it say? Does it depend on somebody else? No. Really, look at what Paul's writing here to the church in Rome. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Simply put is this, others first. Others first. What does Jesus say the greatest commandment is? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the commands and prophets hang on these two. You guys realize if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first part of the Ten Commandments is how we relate to God, how we are to love God. The rest of them is how we relate to each other. How we are to live in peace with each other. How we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. So do you think that's important to God? Yes. Live in peace. I've told you this before. Mel Campos and I, and Sandra can attest to this. There were times that we sat in our staff meetings, and Mel and I just did not see eye to eye on some certain things. And neither one of us were willing to give up our stance and what we believed. And so there were times in our staff meeting that Stan would have to say, you two need to calm down. And he would tell us to calm down. But when we left that office, we left that meeting, nobody in the church knew about it. You don't have to agree with somebody to live in peace with them. You can disagree with somebody and still love them. You can disagree and still treat them like family. You can disagree and still be part of the same body. There are times that my mouth and my tongue says, oh, that tastes good. But my stomach says, nope, that's not right for me. You guys know what I'm talking about. I don't know how much more couth to be with that one. But there are times that my stomach and my mouth don't agree. But they're still part of the same body, aren't they? There are times that my knee doesn't want to work the way it should. There are times that body parts do not want to cooperate with everything else. But it does not make them not part of the body anymore. We are to live in peace with each other. Let me ask you a question. What Paul is writing here, he is writing and he is telling them, he's not just dealing with church people. He is dealing with telling them that you should be living peace with all men. Everybody. How can we live in peace with non-Christians if we can't live in peace with each other? Think about what I just said. How can you live in peace with people outside the church when you can't even be at peace with people in the church? we need to understand that we need to put other people first. Other people first. And then if we're able to do all of that, his last words are this: the God of all love and peace will be with you. This is that condition statement. He doesn't say, may the Lord of peace be with you. He says, he will be with you. Isn't that what he says? The God of love and peace will be with you. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whose power? The Holy Spirit. Church, this is one thing I want to tell you. I shared this with Jack today. Pastors, preachers, staff members, we will come and go. But nowhere in Scripture does it tell you to follow the preacher or the staff or the pastor when they go somewhere else. In fact, Paul deals with this also. He says, some of you say you're of Apollos and some say you're of Paul. You argue with each other. But you have to understand this. Is that, he says, I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and Apollos preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in some cases, I reaped what Apollos sowed, and Apollos reaped what I sowed. But we are preaching one gospel and one Lord and Savior. One Spirit. Church, this church and God's work in this church is not dependent upon who is sitting in that pulpit. This church and God's work in this church is dependent upon your commitment to Him and your commitment to God's work. Do not compromise either one of those. Because if your commitment is with each other and to God, committed to stand firm on His word, committed to do what He has called you to do as a church, being like-minded, rejoicing, being comforted. Your commitment is that. You will not have any issues whatsoever making sure that the right person is in that pulpit at all times. And that they're preaching what needs to be preached. Because you will not have somebody up there that's teaching or preaching fallacy. That is preaching something other than God's word. My final word is this. Just as Paul said to the church in Philippi, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. Thank you for allowing me to be your youth pastor. God is calling me somewhere. I don't know where that is yet. All I know that is He's doing it. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't leave this place today. If you're here today and you're not living in peace with someone else, don't leave this place without getting that taken care of. If you're not able to rejoice, if you're not being comforted, don't leave this place without being comforted. Jesus is the only one that can do that. Give it to Him and let Him work as only He can. As we sing the song of invitation, this is your time, this is your opportunity to do what God is calling you to do. Don't wait.
Hymn number 384, please. Thank you.
Church. I love each and every one of you. And Jim, if you would dismiss us in prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word that we've heard today. Thank you for blessing us with so many years of ministry and service from Artie. And as he moves forward, we're confident that you'll lead him on the path that you have for him. And likewise, we as this body of believers, help us to move forward as well, to keep our eyes on you, our hearts in the Spirit, and let the love that we have for each other be so apparent to the people around us, to the world around us, that they'll want to be here too. As we move forward, we keep our eyes on you, Lord, and we thank you for the blessings we've enjoyed. In Christ's name, amen.